Hello, my loves. I have some heavy things to share with you. I'm experiencing a lot of grief and a lot of squirrel in traffic kind of energy right now because I am exhausted. At the same time, I wanted to share with you what's been going on. So my marriage with Chris dissolved in January. And I'd been thinking about how I wanted to talk about it and how I wanted to share it with the internet. And couldn't quite come up with a way that felt satisfying to me. So I chose to say nothing and just going through my grief process of yapping to my friends, writing in my journal, going on long walks, which I used to run, which I've now started running again after like almost a year of not running. Y'all have been a runner my whole life, so it's been an interesting time to take that break and then to start back up, especially in this moment. So everything was, despite holding the grief of the loss of the relationship, I felt my creativity coming back online. My connections with my friends were starting to feel even more satisfying than they already feel. Y'all, I have the most amazing friends. I'm eternally grateful. And, in the back of my mind, there is this, the feeling of loss and humiliation and shame and embarrassment at the ending of my marriage. Things ended in a very tumultuous way. So here we are, just out here trucking along. I had plans, which I kept. There was a bunch of plans coming up the first week of April. My best friend from Atlanta was coming into town, which I'm so excited about. And then I had gotten reconnected with a couple of people that I was excited to see. So everything is bright and shiny and wonderful. And then on March 31st, Chris's sister called to tell me that he passed away in a motorcycle accident the night before. And if you've been with me for any amount of time, I'm pretty sure I shared this on the first episode of this podcast. I have already experienced the death of a partner when I was 26. To receive this news and have to, or choose to go through the process of feeling even more grief has been a very, very heavy weight on my mind, on my heart, and the grief of the loss of his humanity is trumping the grief of the loss of the relationship, right? My best friend still came into town. I still saw all my friends, kept all the plans, did all the things, and I had a spectacular time, and I feel very loved and very supported. At the same time, I am holding this immense joy and then this immense grief that feels extremely complicated. And while I am eternally grateful for my 26-year-old self for paving the way of how I process grief, this feels like something a little different. And it is. It is something a little different. I am different. My relationship with Chris is different than it was with Rob. So we're holding a lot right now. We're definitely holding a lot. And trying to give myself as much grace as humanly possible, which is not always the easiest of tasks, and allow myself to be tired, to feel whatever anger is coming up, to spontaneously cry, because there's a lot of spontaneous crying, and move through whatever wants to be moved through. But I also have parts that are itching to write the things I had already planned on writing this month. To use this time and space for my creativity, but if I'm honest, y'all, I just don't have it in me. It's gonna come back. I have a whole list of things that I'm gonna write and that I want to express, but I don't have the space or the capacity to put the words together. And that is the hardest thing to be gentle with myself on. So we're doing it, y'all. We're doing it. We're just really tiny bite-sized chunks of things. I also had work accepted into the Seattle Erotic Art Festival this year. There's two pieces, and one piece, which is my shorter piece, is about my emotional experience with Chris when things were shinier and sparklier, and I am choosing to do to read that piece on the stage this year. So, which I am excited to do. I am happy to do. There's again complicated feelings that are coming with that. But yeah, it's the editing process and shifting it around a little bit to make it more real and true for the present moment. So yeah, it's one step at a time, 1 minute at a time right now. The other thing I wanted to share with you is April 2nd was my 10-year anniversary here in Seattle. I wrote a piece that I wanted to share with you here about the the adventure this past decade has been. Yeah, it has been lovely and hilarious and weird and hard. Literally the best decision I have ever made. So here we go. Dearest 33, it's 2025, but for you, it's still 2015. You're in Minneapolis, the last passenger to make it on your one-way connection to Seattle from Chicago. And you can't see from the tears in your eyes as we run down the jetway that I am just ahead of you. My arm reaching back, offering my hand, but you're gripping your overstuffed carry-on while your backpack bounces against your tired body. While you get settled and fasten your seatbelt, I'm going to tell you about our adventure here. Okay, so things don't go as planned, and it's not better or worse than what you envisioned, but something different. Your attachment and deep love for coffee shops grows and blossoms until they become extensions of you. Your love for baristas is ever present. There are people you meet by chance and on purpose in these beloved places. Some will remain with you for the entirety of the decade, and some will fade as quickly as they came in. I know you want to find an apartment immediately, but it will take 4 months. Couchsurfing teaches you to do the hard thing of asking for help. It opens you up to the kindness of other people. It gives you stories to tell later, like how that one dude's roommate hid the toilet paper, how you made dinner on a rooftop that overlooked the sound with a host, and cut another couchsurfer's hair in the bathroom of your shared host house. Modeling work finds you by way of a friend of a friend. Word of mouth travels, but more slowly than it did in Chicago. Remember how you said you could never, ever work at that cute, kitschy grocery store you loved, but hated how it always felt so chaotic to shop there? Well, you do. And I know, please stop screaming and please don't be mad. I mean, you will be mad a lot because people exist, but you know what else exists? The Dairy Box. And I know it doesn't make sense to you now, but the love affair you have with taking care of this space and the other person who is there with you changes your life. Before you turn into the dairy demon queen wielding a glittering pitchfork as you stock your section, you make friends who quickly become additions to your favorite human collection. You find a house to live in with four roommates and are quickly reminded that you need to find a place on your own. Work is a kaleidoscope of silliness, prickliness, affection, hilarity, contempt, joy, sadness, rage, and deep love. You'll experience the best and worst of who you are here in this tiny grocery universe. During your 5 years there, all four of your grandparents and two of your friends pass away. You'll briefly live in an apartment with a stunning view of the Space Needle like you wanted, but you don't get there how you planned. Eventually, you'll find an apartment that is just yours. Out of all the spaces you've inhabited, this one is where you become the most you have ever been. This miniature place loves you as much as you love it. Lake Washington and the Arboretum are where you spend countless hours running to and from, around and through, sometimes in, sometimes alone, sometimes with people you don't know exist yet, but they love you and you love them back so hard. Sometimes too hard. You buy a tarot deck. Your intuition comes online more through giving body work to a partner. When that relationship ends, you practice hearing with and without touching people, astonished at all the different types of energy you pick up on. You pierce your face, sternum, and tattoo your fingers. The spoken word event, inviting people to read their sexy work that you wanted to create in Chicago, happens here. You run it for 3 years before you burn out. Your work gets accepted into the Seattle Erotic Art Festival 4 times. In 1 year, it wins an award. You stand on stage after stage after stage, reciting your spicy work with a dash of memoir. Once, you scare some old ladies with your sexy words. And another time, people cry when you recite memoir. At the suggestion of a friend, you create a YouTube channel that receives nearly 10,000 subscribers and over 1 million views, but is eventually taken down because of the nature of your words. I will spare you the details of 2020. As you turn in your notice and leave your grocery universe in July of that year, there will be a yogurt milk bug at butter egg shaped hole in your heart that will forever remain open. You work for yourself. It's not like it was in Chicago and leaves you feeling anxious and sad, despite experiencing immense joy at connecting with the clients you have the privilege of working with. Shortly after your 40th birthday, you'll enter into one of the darkest periods of your life. The voice notes of your California bestie, as well as the forcing of your body to go outside and order coffee from the sweet baristas 2 streets down, keep you earthside. A relationship you knew better than to enter, but did anyway, changes your view of love when it ends. You're not the same after. You model all over Seattle, on Bainbridge, and Vashon Islands. Riding the ferries still make you giddy. There are 3 groups in particular that yield an exchange of love that teaches you what it is to be safe and treasured inside your self-expression. You work in schools, private studios, galleries, and one gaming company. Your boundaries become strong and strict. You love hearing about the lives of the people you pose for. You consistently delight in the work they create of your form. 10 years into being a human statue, you hang up your birthday suit and leave the art world. Nothing happens to push you into this decision except some little voice in the back of your head whispering that it's time. Whatever you are supposed to do, give, receive here is done. You run 3 marathons, including one here that is your fastest and happiest race. There are occasional yoga sessions you teach to friends and partners. Dancing becomes a way you process your emotions, but it's not something you talk about. Every event that happens, whether you judge it as good or bad, you bring to the lake. Endless miles are traveled walking or running to and from the water. There are weeks that add up to months where you stare at the horizon, watching the sunrise more times than I can count. You go skinny dipping under a full October moon, and several times in the middle of summer beneath the heat of the sun. Lacking the capacity to keep working for yourself in the way you had been, you stop. And as you think about what to do next, you remember all those times you used to stare at job listings for that beautiful company in Chicago when you wanted to escape the beauty industry. You work there now. You laugh every day. And once again, you've developed relationships with the precious people you work with. You'll get married in Volunteer Park. You'll end it 6 weeks later. A lovely series of events quickly unfold afterwards, leaving you feeling full, delighted, and content. You replace your engagement ring with a giant sparkler that is the same stone, but heart-shaped, A blinding reminder that you've got you, and anyone who loves you will have zero interest in changing who you are. 8 weeks after, he will pass away in a motorcycle accident. The grief is weird and complicated. The love you felt from your favorite human 17 years ago when this happened the first time is ever present. This time, you're more practiced at accepting it. You don't grieve the life you left in Chicago until this year. Your creativity is growing and expanding. The healing that you experience here is unparalleled to anything you've known before. Seeing the mountains, the water, the trees, the seagulls, crows, and squirrels never gets old. The people you come to love hold you with such grace and care that you learn to hold yourself that way. There are things, encounters, experiences, feelings, and circumstances I can't tell you about yet. They're for you to move, learn, and grow through. I will say that weeks before this anniversary, you'll walk out of one of your many favorite coffee shops like you do, and down the hill to work under a cotton candy pink sky. Your eyes will fill up as you realize that the happiness you're feeling now, as your plane is preparing to land, mirrors that of the slightly different textured happiness I am holding for you here. So, dearest 33, your plane is touching down, and I know you're getting worried about collecting your checked bag and how you're going to get it up the stairs because it weighs as much as you do. But someone will be there to help you. As cliche as it is to say this, especially now as your heart is about to burst and you're ready to start your new life, savor everything. It goes so fast. I love you, and I can't wait to see you. Y'all, thank you so much for being here. I appreciate you. I will be back with some spicy stories soon enough. But I love you.